All right, guys, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 9. That's where we're going to be this morning. Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 1 through 16. Again, a familiar story that we've looked at before together, and I know that you've studied it and read about it, but truly was a miraculous encounter with Jesus. As we think about encounters with Jesus, we've been going through this topic together. As we are leading up to Easter, we've been looking at individuals in the Bible who had just an encounter with Jesus, how it changed their life, and how it can impact us, you know, in our day in life and in our walk with Christ today. And so today we look at the life of Saul. So Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 16. I want to begin my story, begin this morning with telling you a story. Maybe you've heard this story before, about a prince named Prince Kabu. Kabu's father was the chief of the Kru tribe in Liberia, and that was on the West African coast. One day, Kabu, this many years ago, was captured by another tribe called the Gribo tribe. And in the midst of great famine, Kabu's father, who was the chief, tried to get him back, so he was bringing as much food as he could each month to the Gribo tribe, in hope that they would free his son, but they never did release him. Finally, the Gribo tribe decided that they no longer had any use for this young prince named Kabu, and so they tied him up to a pole, and they were prepared to kill him. Kabu longs for his father to rescue him, but he doesn't realize that there's someone greater who is about to rescue him. And as he's about to be killed, a bright light shines from above, and he hears a voice that exclaims, "Run, Kabu, run!" And at once his ropes fall away and Kabu runs into the surrounding jungle. Weeks later, Kabu finds his way to an area where missionaries are living. They invite him to stay with them. And while he was attending a church service, Kabu heard a story about a guy named Saul who was on the road to Damascus. And suddenly it made sense for him. The bright light that he had seen and the voice that he had heard were the same voice that Saul heard in his story. And Kabu realized it was the Lord who'd rescued him when his earthly father was not able to. He realized that his story was the same as Saul's. And as a result, Kabu became a follower of Christ and he changed his name to Samuel Morris. He grows in his faith and he takes every opportunity to share his story of salvation with other people. He later travels to America in order to go to school with his ultimate goal of returning to Liberia as a missionary to share the hope of Jesus with his own countrymen. As he traveled to America, his journey was difficult. He faced storms, he faced disease, he faced hard labor, he faced a ship that was filled with shipmates who made fun of his Christian faith. But because of Samuel's faithfulness, the captain and many of the crew placed their faith in Jesus Christ by the end of the journey. Once in America, Samuel continued to share his faith in New York City and then at Taylor University in Indiana. And his miraculous story made a deep impact on many people, and numbers of people placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, Samuel Morris, his life was cut short at age 20 after contracting an illness. And as a result, Samuel never got to return to Liberia as he had hoped. But his story led many other students to go serve as missionaries to Liberia in his place. And many people came to faith in Jesus Christ because of that. As I think about Samuel Morris, I think about his legacy. I think about how his legacy continues today, how his legacy still inspires others to serve the Lord today and to fulfill his mission for their lives. And as I think about his story, the story of Samuel Morris, and his encounter with Jesus, it really does, as he said, remind me of Saul's encounter that we're going to read about this morning. Saul is who we're going to discuss this morning in part 4 of our sermon series, Encounters with Jesus. So let's read the scripture together. Let's get into it. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 16. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He said. I am Jesus, the one who you're persecuting, he replied. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord, he said. Get up and go to the street called Straight, the Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and placing his hands on him so he can regain his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard from many people about this man. How much harm has he done to your saints in Jerusalem? He has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings and Israelites. I will show him how he must suffer for my name. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So this is a miraculous story. This is a marvelous story as we see Paul's life, Saul, his life dramatically changed by this encounter with Jesus. So let's kind of break it down a little bit. Let's first of all look at Saul's background, because we need to understand who he was to understand how the Lord radically changed his life. Saul, obviously also known as the Apostle Paul, was born in Tarsus, which was a city in the Roman province of Cilicia. Tarsus, if you don't know where that is, it's located near where Asia Minor and Syria meet, not far from Antioch. It was a famous city. It was famous for a university, which was among the most honored in the Roman world. Saul had dual citizenship. He was pure-blooded. He was a pure-blooded citizen of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin, as well as a Roman citizen. And his Roman citizenship gave him a position of privilege that would be very advantageous to him later on in his life. We also know that Saul was very educated. His early education occurred while living in Tarsus. His formal education took place under Gamaliel while he was living in Jerusalem. It's under his instruction that Saul prepared and to be trained as a Pharisee. As you go through the book of Acts, Saul makes his first appearance in Scripture in connection with Stephen's stoning. Remember that story? When Stephen was executed, the Bible says that Saul was guarding the robes of those involved in the stoning. We know that Saul had a huge role in the persecution of Christians after Stephen's death, as we just read in verses 1 and 2. And so he was very involved in the persecution of the church. Now, some people say, when was Saul's name changed to Paul? Well, that's not a very correct question, because a lot of people think that it changed after he became a Christian, but really that's not true. He's referred to Saul throughout chapter 9 until after you get to Acts chapter 13, because Saul's name was also Paul. The custom of dual names was common in those days. So it wasn't uncommon for people to have two different names. Acts chapter 13, verse 9 describes the apostle as Saul, who was also called Paul. And from that time on, Saul is always referred to in Scripture as Paul. Paul was his Roman name, as he was considered the apostle to the Gentiles. So it probably made sense for him, if he's going to be a minister and sharing the gospel with the Gentiles, to use his Roman name as he traveled into the Gentile world. And so from this point on, I'm going to refer to him as Paul, okay? But we're talking about the same guy, Saul versus Paul, okay? So that's a little bit about his background. Here's where we really want to get into the gist of Paul's encounter with Jesus here. And a couple of things that I want to emphasize, okay? Number two in our outline, Paul's encounter with Jesus shows us the power of the gospel, does it not? I mean, we see something very extraordinary happen here. Paul's encounter with Jesus shows the power of the gospel. The conversion of Paul shows something wonderful. Listen, Paul was a bad guy. right? He was one bad dude. And you didn't want to mess with him. At the beginning of chapter 9, we see that he is breathing murderous threats against the disciples. He was laser focused in what his job was in wanting to eradicate Christianity and eradicating followers of Christ. And it wasn't enough that he had broken up the Jerusalem church after Stephen's death. Now he wanted to go what was about 125 miles to Damascus to find any Christians that he could to bring them back into Jerusalem. And listen, Paul didn't discriminate. He was an equal opportunity terrorist, if you will, okay? He went after men. He went after women. He didn't care if he took parents away from their children. He had an intense hatred for Jesus, an intense hatred for his followers. But on his journey, on his way, as Paul was on his way to Damascus to round up more Christians, something marvelous happened, something powerful and miraculous happened in his life. And that's the only way that you could describe it. That's the only way that you could describe exactly what happened there. Paul's life was radically changed by the power of Jesus, by the power of gospel. As he was on that road, he was confronted with his sin. That's why Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul at that time became a broken and a humble man. He followed Jesus from that day on. And within 3 days, if you continue reading on the book of Acts, within 3 days, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. So here's a man that went from persecuting Christians to proclaiming Christ in just a matter of days. This shows us the power of the gospel. Several years ago, I was reading a story about an Egyptian Christian. He was a church leader. His name was Nabil Salama. He was executed by the radical Islamic group ISIS. And maybe you heard about this story. Months before his execution, they tortured him profusely, did awful things to him. And I remember seeing a video still, because ISIS released a video. I didn't watch the video, but I remember seeing a video still that ISIS released just before Salama's murder. This picture had three men who were the ones that committed this heinous act that were standing behind Salama, who knelt in front of them. And I remember looking intently at this picture, specifically at these three men whose faces had been blurred out. And I thought to myself, is there any hope for men like this? Could the gospel reach these kind of men who are so full of hate? Is there any hope? Is there any hope for men who torture and kill Christians like it's nothing? And then I remembered the story of Paul, because he was pretty much the same way, right? Breathing murderous threats toward Christians. And listen, Paul was no different than these three men. He was confronted by the gospel and his life was forever changed. So there is hope for men like that, because the power of the gospel is powerful. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then also to the Greek." And this verse is one that we quote a lot. And I'm asking, do we really believe this verse or not? Do we really believe the power of the gospel or not? Do we really believe that Jesus has the power to change even the most hateful, hateful people? If the gospel can change Saul, it can change those three men who executed and murdered Nabil Salama. The early Christians had trouble believing Paul's heart had changed, with reason. And we can be like that too. Sometimes we look at people and kind of look at them funny. Are they really changed? Is God really radically changed their lives? And we can fall into the trap of thinking, listen, that person or that person or that person, they're too far gone. There's not any hope for them. They're so ingrained in whatever it is they're doing, whatever sinful situation they're in or whatever hate group they're a part of, they're so ingrained in that, they're too far gone. The gospel could never reach them. But we need to change our way of thinking, because their way of thinking can be changed because the gospel's powerful. Amen. But the gospel does not the gospel is for everyone. And Romans 1:16 talks about that. The gospel is what changes people. And Paul is the proof that the gospel is powerful. A second observation that I look here, number three in our outline, as we think about Paul's encounter with Jesus. Number three, Paul's encounter with Jesus has impacted Christianity. Other than Jesus, I think we would probably all make the argument, and I think it's probably safe to assume that Paul is the most influential person and contributor to the Christian faith, right? We think about all the things that Paul's been a part of. Let's just go through some of them. First of all, he wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Okay? That's a big deal, because the New Testament is something that we hold and we treasure. His letters that he wrote that we have in the New Testament encouraged churches that he planted, dealt with numerous issues that needed to be addressed, and as we still study these letters today, they encourage us today as Christians, as churches, as individuals. And so his impact on Christianity is with just that has been significant, writing 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Also, as we saw here, he was chosen by God to be the carrier of the Gospels to the Gentiles. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11 real quick. 2 Corinthians 11, we're going to read that in verse 22 in just a minute. But he was chosen by God to be the carrier of the Gospel to the Gentiles. He went on three missionary journeys, and he carried the gospel to the ancient world. And during his journeys, he traveled over 10,000 miles and endured all kinds of hardships and all kinds of persecution. In fact, he lists here in 2 Corinthians some of the things that he dealt with in verses 22 through 28. Let's read it together. He says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I'm a better one, with far more labors, many more imprisonments, far worse beatings, near death many times. 5 times I received the 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. 1 I was stoned by my enemies. 3 I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers in the sea, and dangers among false brothers. Labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, and lacking clothing. Not to mention other things, there were the daily pressure on me, my care for all the churches." I say Paul lived a pretty interesting life, wouldn't you say? And as he took the gospel on these three missionary journeys to the Gentiles, that's what he encountered. And so we know that he endured these things as he traveled, but he was chosen by God to be the carrier of the gospels to the Gentiles. Also, one of his major contributions to Christianity is the truth of justification by faith, a central teaching within the Christian faith. There's lots of things that we can have disagreements over, side issues, if you will, that different interpretations of the Bible. But this one here of justification by faith or saved by grace through faith, that is one that is not debatable, right? That's one that we plant our flag on. That's one that we will die on the hill for. That's one that we don't debate. That's one that we don't disagree and have division about, because that is a major teaching. In other words, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith rather than good works became the central teaching of Martin Luther. And ultimately, this led to the Protestant Reformation and break from the Roman Catholic Church. It was Paul's writings in the book of Romans that influenced Martin Luther and changed the course of spiritual history forever. So that is a major impact on Christianity. But because he had this encounter with Jesus, think about what we have now as a result of his changed heart. The New Testament writings, the gospel being carried to the Gentiles. And guess what, guys? That's the reason you and I are here today. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews, okay? The gospel was taken to other parts of the world, and then ultimately the gospel came to America as a result of Paul taking the gospel to nations, to the nations. And that's the reason you and I are followers of Christ today. His writings, the truth of justification by faith. Those are just a few things that we've encountered because of Paul's encounter with Jesus and the way that it's impacted Christianity. As I noted before, as we kind of come to a close here, as I noted before, Paul endured many hardships and persecution. And the Lord revealed to Paul that he would spend his days suffering for the cause of Christ. And we just read about that in 2 Corinthians. Look what it says there in verse 16 of chapter 9, of Acts chapter 9, verse 16. He said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Paul realized quickly that that was going to be a part of his life. He embraced that. He said in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, he said, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. So Paul said, listen, I'm going to serve Jesus in life and in death. It doesn't matter. Christ is going to be highly honored in my body, whether by life or whether by death. I don't care. I'm going to serve the Lord. If it kills me, then so be it. But I'm going to serve the Lord. For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. And well, he eventually did die for his faith, and we know that. We discussed the final days of his life when we went through 2 Timothy together. And if you don't know that story, pretty much early on, the Roman government treated Christianity as a part of Judaism, and they left it alone. But by AD 64, there was a very evil emperor named Emperor Nero who was aggressively persecuting and killing Christians. He falsely blamed these Christians for a fire that destroyed much of Rome. Many people were blaming him, so he had to have a scapegoat. So he accused the Christians of that. And Paul was one of those Christians who died at the hands of Nero. And according to the church historian Eusebius, Paul was led by Nero's soldiers, quote, out of the city to the place of execution where he, after his prayer made, gave his neck to the sword. In other words, he was beheaded. That's how Paul died. He was willing to give his life for the cause of Christ, for the sake of other people. Thinking about the life of Paul, thinking about his encounter with Jesus, thinking about the way that the gospel changed his life forever, this hateful, murderous man, think about the impact that he's made on Christianity, think about how he's impacted your life as you've read many of the books that he's written in the New Testament, how his writings have encouraged you to be faithful in your walk with Christ. Who in your life can you share this story with? Who in your life needs to hear this story? Who in your life is God bringing into your mind right now that you could share this powerful story? And perhaps you know somebody that is kind of like Paul. You would think that they could never know Jesus. You would think that they're so far gone in what they believe and their belief system and their knowledge of whatever it is they believe in. They're so ingrained in that they could never really embrace Jesus Christ. Well, I'm here to tell you, with God, there is no hopeless cause. Amen? And we see the life of Paul that demonstrates that. So who in your life is like Paul, this far from God person? Let me just say, the arms of God are not so short that he can't reach even the farthest people away. God's a pretty big God, and he can change anyone. He changed your life, right? Listen, sometimes we put ourselves in a category of thinking, well, you know, I wasn't as bad as Paul. Okay, maybe that's true. You weren't murdering people, weren't dragging people out of their homes and imprisoning them. But you know what? Your sin is just as bad as Paul's sin. You came to a point in your life where you realized, I'm a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner, and I need Jesus in my heart and life. Even if you were a child, you came to the realization, there's sin in my life, and I need Jesus to come in and change me. And you invited Jesus in, and he changed your heart forever, and you became, in that instant, a brand new person, a different person. Maybe you still had struggles, and you had to work through some stuff. I'm not saying that. But you became a different person. You became a different individual. You became somebody different. Your heart changed. Because of the power of the gospel. We're no different than Paul. If the gospel can change our hearts, it can change the heart of anybody. So who do you know that you could tell this story to? Perhaps there's somebody in your life that they're a know-it-all and they're far from God. And you could say, hey, there was this guy named Saul in the Bible that was kind of like you. You know, he thought he knew everything. But he was walking, he was on this mission to eradicate Christians. He was on his mission to kill Christians. And he was on this way on a road to Damascus. And he had this encounter with Jesus. And within 3 days, he went from persecuting the church to proclaiming Christ. Now, are you telling me this guy had some kind of a mental breakdown and have some mental illness? Or did something really happen in his life? Something really happened in his life, and you can share that story. Maybe there's somebody that said in your life that say, well, you don't know what I'm involved in. You don't know the sin that is a stronghold in my life. You don't know what I've done in my past. You don't know who I am. The Lord could never love me. The Lord could never save me. The Lord doesn't want a person like me, and you could share this story with them, the story of hope. But if he can change the hard sinner, the hard heart of a sinner like Paul, he can change the hard and sinful heart of anyone. So who can you share this story with this week? But what about you? Maybe you need an encounter with Jesus this morning. To put your faith and trust in Jesus, here's what you need to do. It's real easy. Admit to God that you're a sinner. Okay? Admission, God already knows it. I mean, you're not telling him something he doesn't already know. Admission is more for your benefit. I realize, God, I've blown it. I have sin in my life. Admit to him. It's just coming to the realization that I'm a sinful person. Admit that to God. Ask forgiveness and be willing to turn away from your sins. That's the word repent that we talk about a lot. You're going one way, and you've got to be willing to turn the other way, away from that sin. And then believe. Believe that Christ died. Believe that he was buried. Believe that he rose again. The story in the Bible is not just a neat story that's kind of exciting. It really did happen. Jesus did come from heaven. He did live a sinless life. He did die on the cross. He was buried. He came back to life. He rose again, and then he ascended back to heaven, and one day he will return for his glorious bride, the church. But in the meantime, we have to share with others, but we have to believe that Jesus did all those things. And then see, notice the thing, ABC, commit your life to Jesus. Commit your life to him. Say that I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life so that I can spend eternity with you forever. So maybe you need an encounter with Jesus. And I'm not so bold to say that there's not somebody here this morning in this room that might need to do that. Maybe you need an encounter with Jesus today. Would you be willing to admit to him you're a sinner? Would you be willing to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he rose again? Would you commit your life to him today? If you're willing to do that, you do it humbly, the Spirit of God will enter your life and change you, and you'll be forever changed, and you'll belong to him. And it would be the best decision that you can ever make. So maybe today you need an encounter with Jesus. I would invite you to do that. Like Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And Dennis, I just want you to leave that slide up there so that people can see that. So maybe as we're singing that song, you can make that commitment to the Lord this morning. If you're watching online, you can make that commitment to the Lord this morning. As Andrew sings this song, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But beyond that, maybe you need to make another decision. Maybe it's to follow up with believers' baptism. Maybe it's to become a member here, to invest your life here in this church. Maybe it's to surrender to ministry or to missions. Maybe there's another need. We want to hear about that. We want to know about it. And so we would ask you to take the Connect card in the seat in front of you and fill out the decision that you need to make or decision that you have questions about. Put it in the offering box in the foyer and let us, that way we can get you the help that you need to get you on the path that you need to be on, to get you to that next level in your life spiritually. So we want the Lord to work right now. We want Him to work in our hearts. And so we want to give Him an opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Then Andrew's going to lead us in this song, and you'll have an opportunity to do that. Father, right now in this moment, I pray that you would work in the hearts of our people that are here, that are watching. Maybe even others who will watch this later. I don't know. I don't know how far out this video gets to people. But Lord, I know this message today is important. We need to understand that the gospel is powerful enough to change the hardest of hearts. An encounter with you changes people. And Father, we see the evidence in Paul's life. We see the evidence in our lives. And Lord, there are so many other people that need that same gospel. And Father, I pray right now that you would work among us. Father, work in our hearts. Show us the decisions that we need to make. And I pray that people would be willing to do that right now. Father, we open ourselves up to you, and we pray that you would have your way in us. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.